Hello, and welcome to the Game Dev Show. I'm your host, Sarah Sexton, here to show you a process that a lot of game dev artists use when making 3D animations for their games. This is a basic video walkthrough of the beginning steps of the animation process of rigging and skinning a 3D model in Maya. Let's jump right in. One of the things you want to think about when you're animating a model is where your joints are going to be placed. For example, taking the mannequin I have here on the screen, you would want to think about your shoulder joint, your elbow joint, your wrist joint, and if your character has fingers, you'll want to think about placing the individual joints there as well too, so you can have more control and more movement in your character. So, check out how simple it is to start up the process of rigging a skeleton. All you have to do is open up your animation tools by clicking on Skeleton at the top and selecting Joint Tool, and that'll open that up for you. Now what I like to do when I'm placing my joints is to place my character's mesh in the exact center of my scene. That way, later on, if I want to mirror the joints, it's easy to do. And on a character that's symmetrical like this, mirroring is an important feature to keep in mind. I'm going to jump into my side view, and I'll start by placing the first joint in the hip region. Then I'll work down the leg. I want to put it a little bit behind where realistic hip bones usually go, because when you create your next joint, it's going to link them automatically, and when you're doing something like a leg, for example, you want to have a natural bend in the knee already, something like this, so that way it knows how to bend the joint when you're going to the next step. Then I would come down to the ankle there at the end. The skeleton's bones we just made are too big for its body, but that's easy enough to fix. Hold the Control key and select all the joints you just made, then come over here to the radius variable on the sidebar and make that number smaller. Now if you look closely, you can see that it put the joint in the middle, and what I can do to fix that is use my Move tool, you can see it from the side over here, and slide it slightly over so that it fits inside the leg. A handy tip for being able to see the joints in your skeleton's 3D view is to go over to the shading and check the X-ray joints, and that'll make it see-through so you can see it perfectly fine. Now, my dear viewers, please pay close attention to this next section to save yourself some serious headaches later. If you're taking notes, write this down. Label each joint. So, for example, this is the left leg that I'm working with. So I would label this, quote-unquote, left underscore hip, or left underscore leg one, something to that extent. Then go down to the next joint and follow the same naming convention, so left underscore knee, or left leg two, and so on, down to the ankle and beyond. The other thing you'll be using a lot in this process is the center of gravity, which is the one joint in your model that, when you select it, it selects your entire mesh. So that, for us, would be right above the hips, right above the center area, and a little bit forward. So that's right below the spine and just above the legs. Label this one COG for center of gravity, and you're good to go. This model is symmetrical, so let's use a shortcut to mirror it to the other side. So just go up to Skeleton again, click Mirror Joint, and then go into its option box. It'll bring up a pop-up window where you can do a Find and Replace search for the word left and replace it with right, and it will automatically mirror the entire joint system to the other side, and it'll change the naming convention from saying left to right. That's why it's important to label your joints, so that when you mirror them, it does so with no problems. In order to connect your mesh's legs to the center of gravity, first you select the leg, then second you select the center of gravity, and just hit the shortcut on your keyboard, hit the letter P. P stands for parent to connect the two together. Then you want to do the same with the other leg to your center of gravity, and this connects both legs to your center, with the center being the parent. When you select your center, that way it selects both legs. Ta-da! Working forward from that, you can work up the spine. I like to zoom in a little so I can see it better. I'll typically place one joint near the belly button, one almost directly on top of that, another directly on top of that, and a fourth one in the neck. You can decide how many joints you want to place there. The more you place, the more flexibility you'll have, but it also depends on how detailed your mesh is. With this mannequin, it's pretty simple, so four joints isn't too bad. You can label these joints spine 1 through 3 from the bottom up and call the top one neck. Now select your spine first, then the center of gravity, hit the P key, and connect them together. Click the center of gravity to see that all the joints you've made are connected together now. All together now, but don't lose your head. If you want to add one more joint above the neck, you can add one at the very top of the head to control the top of the skull section. And then you can connect that the same way as if you were connecting it to the center of the spine. Technically, I could have just clicked another at the top of it there, but that's another way of showing if you want to go back and add something to your model later, you can. This one I'll label head. And this is now a completed basic skeleton rig for this mannequin. And if I select my center of gravity, it selects all my joints. Well done! Let me show you a couple other little details that can really help you with your animation. Something to give your arms and legs really good bending movements is if you go into your skeleton menu, you will find the IK handle tool. Use this tool to select where you want the bend to start and the bend to end. For example, if I'm doing my left arm again, I want to click on the shoulder joint first and then the wrist. What will happen then is it will create this tool here, this IK handle, and if you watch the joints, they'll bend as if I'm bending an arm when I move this IK handle at the very end of the joint now. By doing so, it just allows you to have more realistic motion with your joints. It gives you a control box down there, this IK blend. If you want to turn that off, you can always turn it off or on, and you can key it so that it remembers it in your animations. And then, because I connected it to the wrist, anything that's out there on the end of the hand can be independent from that. Another step that I'm going to cover real quickly is skinning to the mesh. This gets you from the rig that you see here to animating itself. You see here that I'm moving the IK handle and it's bending the bones in the joints, but it's not actually bending the skin of the arm. Well, that's because it's not skinned to the mesh yet, and that's another process all in itself. How that works is if you select the mesh of the mannequin's body, and then additionally select the center of gravity to select every joint, then go up to the skin button, click on bind skin, and there are options for it. One of them is smooth bind. If you show joint hierarchy, that's what you want to set it to. There are some other methods in here, but I like to leave it as the default. Just make sure it's bound to your joint hierarchy, which is your entire joint structure. Then click Bind Skin. And now, when I select that same IK handle and I move it, it's going to move the entire arm. Now, it's going to pull and stretch on the torso's sides a little, and that's where you'll actually go through and edit your skin to make it a little more smooth. But skinning is a very difficult process, and it's something that's a little more advanced than just creating joints. The next thing I want to talk about is the basics of animation itself. Basics of animation are quite simple in Maya. It's mostly about knowing the basic principles of animation yourself, like squashing and stretching as a classic example. Then there's also your keyframes, your in-between frames, and it's all pretty simple to do within Maya. If I wanted to, say, animate the arm swinging forward, I would be on my first frame down here in this time slider, and then I would quite simply go to where it says Translate, select my three translation axes so that they are highlighted, I would right-click and choose Key Selected, and then they would turn red. You can also see down here in the lower left, there's a little tiny red line right here, which is where you can see that it has now been keyed for animation. Then, to animate the arm swinging out and swinging back in, I would just go to the last frame, which is 24, right-click on the translation axes again, right-click and say key selected again, and now I would have a tiny red line at the beginning and at the end. Since I'm going to have the arm swing out, I'm just going to go to my middle frame, which is 12, go to my Move tool, and I'll just bring it straight out horizontally in front of his body. Now that I have the arm where I want it, I will right-click on the XYZ and the key selected again so that I have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Now if I go back and forth down the timeline, you'll see that the arm moves back and forth. Now, let me switch to the top view and show you something about Maya real quick here. Maya likes to move in as straight a line as possible, so if you wanted to make that arm arc out and around, you would actually need to key in a few other places, which would be what we call in-between keys. So if I wanted to keep the arm out in more of an arcing motion, I would go to frame 6. And from here, since I'm in the top-down view, I can grab this square, and it'll only move in the horizontal area. It'll extend it out all the way. And once you've stretched the arm as far as it'll go, right-click on the XYZ translate axes to key select it again. And now, it'll actually swing out more, as opposed to just straight across. The difference between these two things is just from adding one in-between key. Down here on the bottom right are your controls that you can see the animation. You can just hit the play button here. Right now it's at 24 frames per second. You can change that in your settings too if you want. To show how to do that real quick, you just go to Window, Settings, Preferences, Preferences, and then click on Settings, and it gives you that option right here in this time section. There's a drop-down list of various ones like 15 frames per second and 30 frames per second. I typically use 30 or 15 or 24. It kind of depends on what you're animating at the time. But back down to the controls we have down here in the bottom right. Let me explain these. The double arrow button on the far left goes back to the beginning of your timeline. The double arrow button on the far right goes to the very end of your timeline. Then you have the single arrow button to step back one frame at a time. The single arrow button touching a small red line is to go back to your last keyframe. For example, it would go from 15 to 12, and then 12 to 6, and then 6 to 1. The backwards arrow gives you the option to play the animation in reverse, which can be helpful sometimes when you're animating because it can help you see things that you don't always necessarily see when the animation is playing forward. And finally, we have our iconic play button, which turns into a stop button as well for you. A method that's really helpful for animations, especially for video games, is to make your animation cycle or loop. So for example, what you would do for that is to have your first frame identical to your last frame. That way, when you loop it, it looks like it's smoothly doing the same thing over and over. This is how you would want to do a walk cycle, a run cycle, idling, and anything that you want to repeat seamlessly. If we wanted to switch things up a little and have the mannequin squat down with his legs, you would just key the same X, Y, Z things. Although, what if I want the guy to rotate? Like so, while I'm doing that. Well, I can do that too. I have the same process that I used earlier. I would take my key, translate, X, Y, Z axes, and my rotate X, Y, Z axes, and this would put red squares on all of them so that I know that I've keyed it. Key selected. Then I'll go to my end frame, right click, and key all those same numbers, then go back to my middle frame, or wherever I want that up and down motion to occur, bring the model down to where I want it, maybe rotate it a little bit here at the hips, key those frames again, and now... You can kind of tell that his arm is doing some funky stuff. That's because the rotation of the hips is going against the rotation that we had keyed earlier in the arm. If I wanted to fix that, I would go back to where I had keyed it, which was on the IK handle, and select that again, and just kind of move it out of the way so it's not quite so funky looking, and maybe push it back a bit so we can see that bend in the arm again. Key the new spot for it, and it'll overwrite the values that had previously been there. So now, when he's doing his little motion, that arm isn't crisscrossing into his torso anymore. So you see you have that little bend up in the elbow. That's because I don't have that same key that's in this frame right here to extend that arm back out. So now he just kind of swats down and gets back up. So this is just a quick basic process for how you'd want to key a looping animation cycle. Okay, so this is obviously pretty choppy since it's just a first pass at it, but Let me conclude by saying that these are the basic principles that can get you started with doing your own animations from the rigging process. To take this whole thing from Maya to Unity, just save the mannequin as an OBJ file, and then once you get over into Unity, do a file, import, and select the mannequin OBJ from wherever the file is downloaded to. Then just click on import and hit OK on any of those text boxes that open up. That's the end of this video about rigging and animating 3D models. Remember to incorporate some of these techniques I've showed you to save time in your own projects. Check out the description for a link to the mannequin and a bullet point summary of what we learned. It's been a pleasure being here on the Game Dev Show, and as always, keep on building.